Kia ora koutou, nau mai hoki mai ki te kōnei ipurangi a Nuku. Welcome back to the Nuku podcast. Engari, this year we have a different kaupapa for Nuku. Well, different but the same. He rereke, he orite. Different but the same. The podcast this year is called Tōku Reo. It's a podcast series where we will have 10 episodes talking about the reo reclamation journey of wahine taketake, our indigenous woman. Tōku Reo is derived from the whakatau ki Tōku Reo toku ohoho, ko Tōku Reo toku māpihi mauria, Tōku Reo toku whakakai marihi. So if you are familiar with that whakatau ki, it talks about our language being a treasure and you know, something that we love and adore, and it's a treasure to us. And so Tōku Reo, the name of this podcast series, is a reflection of reclaiming these treasures of ours, and I guess being awoken, all the other meanings that come with that whakatauki. The podcast series is going to feature a number of wahine. I can't say how many because we'll see what happens as we go throughout the year. But there will definitely be 10 episodes following the journeys of wahine taketake. Most of our kōrero will be about te reo Māori, because this year I am studying te reo Māori, rūmaki reo, ki te kura takiura. So I am studying total immersion te reo Māori at Te Wānanga Takiura, and a number of the people that we'll have on this podcast are my classmates and my friends. So I hope you enjoy. I hope it helps you in your journey this year and supports you. Today we have two incredible wahine, both of whom I am privileged to call my friends. One is Camille Harris, who is a beautiful midwife, and you may know her from the television series My Māori Midwife. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
And of course we have our nuku, one of our nuku wahine, who is also the beauty, the ringaringa behind Curio Noir, ko Tiffany Wetehira. Tēnei, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Kiani.
Thank you both for joining us on our first ever episode of Tōku Reo. What I would love for us to do is to open our first episode with a karakia. So, he inoi tātou. Tūtawa mai i runga, tūtawa mai i raro, tūtawa mai i roto, tūtawa mai i waho. Kia tau wai te Māori tū, te Māori ora, ki te katoa. Haumi e hui e, tai ki e. So Tōku Reo, this being our, I feel like I've started right at the very beginning of podcasting again, but this episode is all about the language reclamation journeys of wahine. And when I talk about language reclamation, it's not just te reo Māori. There are wahine reclaiming languages all over te ao katoa. I know that last year we had a message from an incredible wahine who listened to Nuku, and it inspired her to reclaim her wangahau niue, so Niuean language. And when we, when I started Takiura this year and thinking about what I was going to do this year, I couldn't quite let Nuku go completely for the year. And so I thought about what was really encouraging for me and what was something that I was really interested in. And it was learning the stories behind wahine who are reclaiming their language. And when I looked at those who I was studying with this year, I recognised a bit of a trend, I suppose, in that my hoa, my friends, are wahine who are, or who have had incredible careers already and are still having incredible careers, but have had quite success in their careers, are wahine who have lived and have lots of experience in their life, wahine many of whom are māma, and who have decided at this particular point in their life to return to kura to learn te reo Māori. And so I wanted to really speak to you and our other hoa about the realities of learning te reo Māori at this point in our lives, the realities of learning te reo Māori, whether it be kura pō, rūmaki reo, you know, whatever it might be, and also just to be able to kōrero as wāhine about this reclamation of language and what it means to us and why it's important, and why it's important right now for each of us as individuals. So I wanted to start, and I know Camille's been looking at me like, is this podcast going to be in te reo Māori or English? It's going to be in te reo Pākehā, engari. Hopefully by the 10th episode, the whole podcast is in te reo Māori. How flash will we be? It may not be whānau, don't get your hopes up. But but I wanted to start with each of you sharing with us who you are, and why you have decided to take this year to reclaim your language or to grow your reo. And we'll start with you, Tiffany, because you have allowed us to come into your whare. Because we've been, we set up at Kura, and it didn't quite work, and then we drove out down the road. And so let's start with you, e hoa, because also people will be familiar with you. You're already one of our nuku wahine. But can you please share with us, ko waikwe, hiaha ai tō haeringa i tēnei tau?
Ko Mongero, ko Hikurangi, te tai tokirau, ngā maunga, ko te huihui, ko Tawapuku, ngā awa, ko ngā toki matawhaorua, te waka, ko Paora Witihira, ko Pihiriri, ngā rangatira, ko te huihui, ko te huruhi, ngā marae, ko Ngāi Tawake o te wauku, ko Ngāti Mahia, ngā hapu, ko ngā puhi te iwi, ko Tiffany Ahau. Kia ora, Kiani. Kia ora, Camille. So I'm ready to start focusing wholeheartedly on reclaiming te reo for my whole whānau. That's what this year is about. I have actually done some other courses, but being fully immersed, like how some of us maybe used to be immersed at some point in our lives, or even how our ancestors have been, this is what I actually really felt like I needed at this time of my life. I probably actually always needed it, but I actually have. But but I actually mean to say that I've made it a priority, because it's not, it hasn't been an easy decision to stop mahi for a year and delegate.
Aye.
So that's just the start of it, but we'll carry on.
Ko waikwe, Camille.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me. Ko mamari tōku waka, ko ruanui te tangata, ko tāwhitirahi tōku maunga, ko awapoka tōku awa, ko pāringaringa tōku moana, ko rongopatu taonga tōku wharekai, ko waimirirangi tōku wharetipuna, ko pōtahi tōku marae, ko te aupauri tōku iwi, ko tōku o te aroa tōku urupa, ko te kao tōku tūranga waiwai, ko Camille Aroha Harris ahau. I am a child of whāngai. I was raised in the richness of my nan and my koro. When I was young growing up, my nan used to speak a lot. It was always like, you know, pass, ho mai te pata, ho mai te toti, close the door, whatever it was. It was always that sort of thing. When I was 10, my koro passed away and my life changed, and then I was with my mum. So that connection to all those cultural, you know, all my cultural side that grounded me as Māori was a little bit disconnected for a while. So I guess, you know, if I fast forward, I work as a midwife, I care for whānau Māori, and I'm always receiving emails and phone messages and all that kind of thing in te reo Māori and unable to return that kōrero, I guess. So that's a little bit of a driver for the minute. It's always been there. I've always wanted to reclaim te reo, but I guess that's been a bit of a driver for me. And I just think I got to a point where I was just so hungry that it's like no longer is it going to be fitting in to everything else I do. I wanted to bring it to the forefront and everything else is going to fit in around it. So making it a priority.
There are a number of ways that we can learn te reo Māori. There are free programs that are out there. There's Kura Pō, there is Māori Television, you can be watching that, and there are Puka Puka you can be doing. I know just today Stacey Morrison shared with somebody her Massey University program that's free, that's available to people. So I guess why rūmaki reo? Why was that the one that you settled on this year, as opposed to the other ways that we could be studying te reo Māori?
For me, I know this works. Being fully immersed works, and it's not like, well, we're not just learning te reo, we're learning about tikanga, we're learning kapahaka, we're learning new karakia and waiata, we're immersing ourselves within our culture in a way that I certainly haven't been and I've been craving for. And just weekly or just the odd, few hours a week hasn't been... It hasn't fulfilled me and my yearning for te ao Māori. So that's why, for me, Takiura has been just this wonderful gift for us to be able to partake in. In this day and age, you know, like being in, you know, I'm in my 40s now. And this is an opportunity, like I am able to go to this full time. It's crazy.
Did you, Camille, have you done like the Kura Pō and the different kinds of te reo Māori learning and courses available? Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've downloaded apps. I've got every book. And I did a couple of nights a week last year, but I guess... For me, I feel like I'm dipping in and out of te ao Māori, so I want to just be, I wanted to have the majority of my day and the majority of my year and my world just be totally in te ao Māori and not dipping in and out. Again, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like dipping in and out. One minute I'm in te ao Māori and I'm fully swirling in that world of tikanga and of, you know, the reo and the waiata and the karakia and all of those kind of things, and then I'm dipping out into Te Ao Pākehā where I'm being this other person in this other world, and then it just doesn't, I don't know, that dipping in and out wasn't working for me. And I've heard lots about Takiura, I've heard lots about rūmaki reo, so, and I wanted to challenge myself and dive in.
I think I had a bit of the same experience in that it's one of those things that Stacey talks about, you know, don't just do level four every year for the next 3 years. And I had kind of got to a point where I was stuck in my reo journey because I had done the Kura Pō and I studied te reo Māori at university, and actually I was really naughty because I studied it at a level that I knew I would pass. And so for me it was an easy pass of a paper at that point in my life. And when I look back at how actually that was quite arrogant of me to have done that and thinking about it now, that I didn't really pay enough attention in class and I didn't show up to all the classes because I knew that I'd passed that year, because I knew that I had enough reo to get me through that particular level. And so when I went on to do the next level of kurapō, I found myself, again, not being, as you say, not being as fully immersed in te reo Māori, so not feeling like I was retaining everything because it wasn't the dominant thing in my in my life or in my timetable. And then I guess anyone who knows me knows that once I get my head into something, I'm like 1,000% in. And that's, for me, if I didn't, well, when we think of that kupu e rūmaki, if I didn't drown myself in te reo Māori, te ao Māori, tikanga Māori, then I would have just done what I did at uni and just been like, oh, well, I've got enough to get through this bit, but not prioritise it in the same way.
Why did you do those that paper?
At uni? Because I guess a couple of reasons. One was I wanted to be closer to tangata Māori because in my particular study, or in my, in what I studied, there wasn't a lot of Māori students. And so it was my way to honunga to te ao Māori, to go and, you know, study te ao Māori. Except it was like on a Friday evening at 7 o'clock or something ridiculous that you did that particular class. So that was one of the reasons, was that yearning for that honunga to Māori within that real Pākehā setting. But as I said, the other reason was it was that particular level was easy enough to pass that it was like, oh, well, at least I'm going to pass one paper. You know, that kind of, that mindset. I mean, way back then I was 18, 17, 18. This is a long time since I was at uni. But that whakaaro at that time, and I think I was still grappling with this sense of identity with my reo, because I had come from a mainstream kura where literally the Māori students or the kura kaupapa Māori was on the other side of the fence within the same kura, but on the other side of the fence physically. And so, yeah, I don't know, there was a lot going on at that time in my life as to who I was as a person who had a certain level of understanding of te reo, but who wasn't a fluent or confident reo Māori speaker.
It was always my dream to go to uni when I was younger to study te reo, but I didn't out of fear that of disappointing my mum because she really struggled with being Māori and, she really did. And it's so funny because with all of my tamariki, I'm like, when you finish school, you're going to study te reo. Even though they are learning, they have been learning te reo except for our eldest. And, you know, I'm just like, it's okay to be Māori. It's so beautiful and so special. And they're just like, we know. But yeah, that's why I'm just like, wow, that's so cool that at that age that you even still had that opportunity, gave yourself that opportunity.
But I didn't do I didn't do enough with that opportunity.
And in hindsight, you can look back now and see that. But at the time, you don't. We don't think like that, do we?
And I think those are some of the, you know, we talk about traumas that are associated with our reo. And then, so there's that intergenerational trauma. But then there's also that trauma that sometimes we put on ourselves or that we think that we've caused ourselves. And that's one of those for me. Is that when I look back on it as I've gotten older, I'm like, that's a barrier or has been a barrier to me learning te reo, because I'm like, well, I had that opportunity and I let it go. Well, I didn't take it, I didn't grasp it with both hands. And so there's also that inkling in me going, do you deserve to go back again? Because you didn't even do that thing when you had it that time.
That's exactly how I feel. With when I was in high school, So we didn't, with our whānau, I had a, compared to some, was slightly complicated. It was like a complicated sort of birth and arrangement. So I spent a lot of my time with my nan and my aunties, and my mum had me when she was still a teenager, but I was actually raised by her teenage sisters who were even younger than her, like 14 and 15, and then my auntie Annette must have been 12 or 13, and my nana used to work lots of different jobs. We used to actually go with her, and she used to clean Waikato University. And we used to go there and clean, and we're always, that's why Dettol is actually a really comforting scent to me, which is really bizarre because it's just so poignant in my mind. And I remember my nana even saying, she'd be like, you know, people learn te reo here, people learn te reo here, but then there's some of us that actually hadn't have, we can't do that, so we do this for them so they can learn their te reo for us.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so I was always like, oh yes, you know, we're like contributing to our community still. And then as my mum was living in Tamaki, and then I came to live with her, and you know, we just lived, and Tamaki was a really very strenuous sort of city. When I got to high school, I remember being so excited that I could have the opportunity to learn te reo again, because we did have a lot of te reo growing up around us, but moving to Tamaki, it was completely stripped from me, because, and stripped from my mum as well, because she obviously felt like she wasn't allowed to be who she was born to be. And so we couldn't kōrero Māori at all. But I remember her saying to me, do you really want to learn te reo? Like, do you really, you know, like, if you want to travel, maybe French would be. And I was like, I don't know. I think I'd really love to learn te reo. And she was like, I just don't think it's going to, like, what is it going to do for you? What has it done for us? What is it? That's her. That was her whakaaro. It's very different now, you know, 20 something years later, 10 years later. But it's definitely been like, I feel like I was every year since then, I think I've been like, why did I not just do that? I could have just done that. But now I'm in my 40s and I'm doing that now, and I feel more comfortable now doing this than what I would have been able to feel 10 years ago, even, for some reason. I don't know why, but this year's a good year.
Camille, you've been studying Te Reo Māori full time now for almost a month. How are you feeling about it?
How am I feeling about studying almost a month? Every day goes really fast, and I really enjoy every day. However, I still wonder how I'm going to grasp this. I find reassurance, like in today at Kura, for example, I could follow everything that we were being taught, yet I find it hard to verbalise the answers. So, but I still feel good. It's a strange thing, because I still feel like I'm getting it, but then sometimes I go home and I'm like, but did I or did I? And then I come back the next day and it's like, oh, no, I did. Because then, again, you know, I'm listening and I'm sitting there and I'm understanding and I'm getting things. I might be missing things here and there, but I'm able to somewhat join the dots. So for me, I still feel it's right. I'm still super happy to be coming every day. I still feel fulfilled and exhausted at every, you know, the end of every day. But I do think I'm somewhat progressing.
Is there something that you can identify that stops those kupu coming out of your mouth?
Whakamā. I guess, whakamā to try and get it wrong, I think. It must be my own self. Just worried if I got it wrong, if I've got the he or the kete or the kua in the wrong place, if I've said something totally wrong. It's those joining up the kupu that I find difficult. And then when I'm not in a situation with everybody, I'm not saying all the time, but often I can write out a sentence at home or write a text to somebody without the stress of it all and get it a lot more right than I would in the heat of the moment. Mm. But that's okay. I know that. It's funny because like they speak about how it's like in your DNA and that, and I just feel like it must be because I'm somewhat getting it. Mm. So I just have to trust in that and keep trying to squash that whakamā. That taniwha.
Patua te whakamā. Patua te taniwha whakamā. Whakamā is, I guess it's something that comes not just in these learning spaces, but if, like, I'm quite an outgoing person and I'm used to talking and filling space. And so I don't get whakamā to make mistakes because I'm like, oh, well, kids, boy, I made a mistake. I'll learn from that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, for me, my personality type, there are lots of things I can get whakamā about, but speaking is not one of them. And so I find it hard to help people who are whakamā because I don't feel the same barrier. Mm. And so I don't know how to āwhina that. And so I wonder, we had a pātai actually on our Instagram page from someone who said, when you are the kind of person who is, you know, quite shy, quite naturally introverted, not saying this is your general personality, but, you know, quite shy, quite naturally introverted, quite easily, you know, easy to get whakamā, what can you do or what do you do? Have you found anything for you that has helped so far?
I think, to be honest, the biggest thing with me, if it is whakamā, is I don't want to be hoha. That's probably the biggest thing. I don't want to be a hoha and take up time when someone's, it's a short conversation and we've just taken 20 more minutes to explain it to you. So I guess it's more that. I guess it's, yeah, more hoha than anything. But time and giving time. Today, who I was sitting next to, in particular, another hoa in our akomanga is quite gentle and giving of time. So that was quite good today. I think, yeah, time and encouragement and maybe little tips if there's a tip where hair goes and KT goes. And just a reminder, because, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's a lesson that, you know, it's a lesson for lots of people to learn what it's like to be on the side of the person who's whakamā, but also how we can āwhina people who are whakamā, and that giving of time is really important. And I think from my experience, I don't have an issue with anyone who takes longer to say something or to find those kupu, because it's almost like really fulfilling for me when I hear or see you achieve that. Like when I hear or see someone go, oh, here, or Kate there, or whatever it is, and kind of you can see it click. A kupu that I may have already known but can see it click within you, it's like, oh, man, that was so fulfilling to watch that and to be a part of that. And so I think maybe if there was any advice I could give is that patua te taniwha whakamā. But, don't assume or don't feel that you're being a hoha, because actually you're not. Mm. And people who are taking a little bit longer are definitely not, because at the end of the day, even though some of us may be a little bit faster with kupu now, come next week, you know, you might know half the kupu ho, we might know nothing, and we've got to the tables will turn.
No, totally. And I'm really aware of it in myself, and I'm willing to push myself. But,
It's so funny. I was just remembering the second day that we were at Kura. I had a really emotional day that day because I had somebody who was in Rumaki on the floor downstairs who was actually one of my... and she just spoke to me in te reo really quickly, and I got really sad and really emotional and felt so fucking mad that I burst out into tears because it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it's interesting though, because in this, also that same day, I remember when we were starting to talk about, you know, pronouns and nouns and verbs and da 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 da, and I was sitting there and I was like actually thinking, heck, I actually think I need to learn English first because I had no idea what they're talking about. I was getting like, I was actually like, yeah, I know. I was like, oh, and that was overwhelming me as well because we were using kupu in English that I hadn't connected with for a really long time. And so I was feeling really overwhelmed about needing to learn English.
Yeah, I find that hard too, like that insert verb or something. Here's the verb, here's the proper... Here's the pronoun, here's the blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no, I came to learn te reo Māori, not to learn English. But you know what I find with... So we're learning the Te Ātārangi method. And the Te Ātārangi method is that silent method of learning, in that it's not silent, but you're not given the Pākehā translation of the word. You're given the kupu Māori. And then you are given, you know, ngā rerenga kōrero, the sentences. And there is lots of body actions and movement and facial expressions to teach what that word means, or pointing, or, you know, whatever. And I've never learnt that method before, and I love it. Because I love that what I'm not doing is I'm not going, whare, house. I'm actually going, whare, hia te whare. And then I'm thinking about whare, what could whare mean? And picturing the whare and drawing the whare and then making, you know, an image of the whare out of the rods and then asking somebody, kei hia tō whare? Or, you know, and that really to me helps to sink in that kupu because I'm not thinking, oh, whare is house. I'm thinking, a whare is a whare. And I think how our tamariki learn to speak whatever language they learn to speak, we don't say, you know, the wharepaku. This wharepaku actually means toilet. You know, we just go, ko tēnei te wharepaku. You know, you just learn by, I don't know, the same way we're learning. I can't think of the right kupu. I can't think of the English word anymore. But I have found that an incredible way to retain those new kupu, those kupu hou.
I reckon that's where maybe when we're always trying to transfer it back to te reo Pākehā, or how does this fit, that's where a lot of that trauma comes from, even that world of thinking, because, you know, like you wanted to translate what that wahine was saying to you straight away and it just got too much because the way your brain is going is like, you know, what is all of this? And I think, even for me with my trauma, learning not to do that so much, which is the only thing my nan has said to me prior to coming into Takura, is just sit and listen, put your pens down, just listen. And then when we go in, that's what our whaia, our kaiako is saying to us, like, listen with your heart, listen with your ears, listen with your eyes, like, try and, you know, they're all tools to listen with. And I think our brains are so programmed to think in such a certain way that we can feel like we're letting ourselves down when it comes to feeling whakamā or facing that trauma of not being able to respond straight away?
Now, we're all mama, and we're all businesswomen in the sense of things. We all run our own timetables normally. What has it been like to transition and have a regular timetable that is the same every day while also being mama and having tamariki, you know, to think about, you know, it's not like we're 18 and we can just go off and study and then go party down the pub after kura and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's a really different space that we're in our lives, undertaking full-time study. What has that been like for you guys?
For me, the first couple of weeks were exhausting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys were exhausted, mm-hmm. but I was... tinana, heningaro, just processing the change was really exhausting. Now I think we're getting into a little bit of a routine, but it's been hard for me to fully let go because it's so funny. In one space, you're like running the show. You know, like you're running the show. You're like, I got this. This there. And then I come to kura and I'm so vulnerable and exposed in a kind of exposed. Like everything is like not in check. But it's all good. Like I've learned that that's actually really cool that I'm letting myself be. We're going through this, the grief and the processing everything that our tupuna have been through to get to this point. But it's been, but it has been exhausting. But I do miss picking up my tamariki from kura, my little earth, but at the same time I quite like it too. Is that okay?
Because it's all about you.
No.
What about you? I mean,
for me,
well,
my
hours
are pretty crazy anyway. So if anything, it's brought a bit more of a regular timetable. But I live quite far away, so the distance and travel is, you know, I've got to be organised pretty much. But I'm quite an organised person, and I'm also really good at overloading myself. So I don't mean that in a good way. Like, I don't notice that until I am really overloaded. So I was studying and I was working prior to entering into Takura, and I am supposed to be continuing with more study as of second semester whilst doing Takura, whilst working, which I've already decided that's not going to happen because bringing that other world into my world, which I don't want. Although the kaupapa drives me, that can just wait. The time will come when I can carry on with that kaupapa. But I quite like routine. I respond well to routine. So it's going okay for me. I still have whānau under my care and they're all on this journey with me. Nobody's come under my care without knowing that I'm on this journey. So there will be times when my world will be a bit crazy and maybe I'm tired in class and that kind of thing. But for now it's good.
I was really scared about the routine because I haven't done routine in 10 years or more. And I was also really scared, as you say, Tiffany, about that kind of vulnerability of in our lives last year, e te rātou. We were the boss. I mean, for you, Camille, the babies are the boss, but same. But, you know, we're the boss. Tino matatau with what we do, you know, with the mahi that we do, really understand it and know it well and can do it off, you know, with our eyes closed and all of that kind of stuff. And then come to kura and be like, almost starting at the bottom again and not knowing what you're doing, not knowing, like being really vulnerable with what you can and can't do and Just that you have to be here by this time where you're going to have to sing a waiata to your class. But, just all of that was really scary. But being a month deep now, it's not so bad. Mm. And having a routine for me has been so good for my taha wairua, taha hinengaro. It's been like a forced rest, I suppose, because like you, I overload myself in all the worst of ways, and so to only have, you know, one or two things on the go is very rare, and to have that at the moment, it's like, oh, what do you do? What do normal people do at 6 o'clock? Like, hang on, what do you normally do on the weekends? Because I'm normally at mahi or doing mahi. And so now I've kind of flipped it to spending time with my whānau and then realising how Māori, how much of whakaaro Māori that is to feed your wairua, ne? Like, and something that I thought, oh, you know, I came into Takiura going, well, you know, I already have whakaaro Māori. I live in a papakāinga, my whole life is whakaaro Māori. I can see my wharenui from my house, and then I go, oh, hang on. Whakaaro Māori is also that whare tapa whā. And if your taha whānau is not looked after, if your whānau, if you're not feeding your whānau and your whānau are not feeding you, whether that be kai or whether that be, you know, other things, then really that's not thinking. That's not really whakaaro Māori, eh? So that's been interesting. That's been an interesting shift for me. one of the things, now that I think about my whānau, one of the things that I have done is taken over my whare with study techniques.
I saw that too. I was like, I need to get some of those pens.
Yes, whānau ma. Right. Those chalk pens are awesome. And so I was trying to think of other ways that I could bring te reo Māori into the whare, that we could all learn as a whānau, because my husband's Tongan, so I'm like forcing him to learn te reo Māori, so I have someone to speak to. Although, given that he speaks Tongan fluently, te reo Māori is like, it's easy for him to pick it up. So on one of my mirrors in the bathroom, I have all the kupu for your body parts from your pokohiwi up. But I don't say where they are. So the idea is that you look in the mirror and then you're like, oh, ko ēnei o kukaru, you know. Ko tēnei tōku ihu or whatever it is. But you kind of see the kupu and then it's almost challenging yourself to point out where they are on your body. And then on the shower door, on the shower door, I've done the kupu for your tinana. And so, you know, matiwai, matimati, matihau, you know, those kupu that maybe I didn't learn when I was younger. So, you know, you learn the u poko poko hiwi poko hope wai wai, but then like, and then what? So, turi, tuke, and then I've put on there, you know, ure, tene tene or tara, because also I want to teach my kōtiro. So when we're in the shower, it's on the other, it's not on the wet side of the door, it's on the other side of the door. And so that's one way that I have put those in our whare for us all to continue to kōrero. And then the other thing was it encourages us when we're in the bathroom to speak to each other or to our kōtiro using those kupu. So then she'll be in the kōtiro, I'm like, horoia tō.
Why?
Or, you know.
Why?
Yeah, something like that. And so it's kind of, that's one way, that's one tip. Have you guys got any other study tips that you have started to incorporate in your whare? Or just study tips anywhere?
I have just gone and bought a whole lot of post-its. Thanks, Kiani.
I'm still
going to use them.
I still have another thing that I've done with post-its, which I can share, but let's listen to your thing first.
One thing I did do is I was cheap and I bought the cheaper ones, and they didn't stick. So then I bought the actual post-its or whatever they're called, the sticky ones, And then I've got chalk pens, so right. I'm going to do that. So that's good to hear how you've broken it up into different sections, because that's me. I'm going to do that. Yeah. So other than that, I'm using Quizlet, where other students have put up their little study lists and matching them up with the words to learn the kupu, and trying to talk more with my potiki, you know, hea hatopiki, I don't know, like, you know, like little things in the morning with getting ready, trying to use that a lot more. That's about as far as it goes for me at the moment.
Can you just tell me about Quizlet? Is it so you just go online, Google Quizlet? Do you have to set up an account or anything?
So I just downloaded the app on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
And it's free. I think there's a better one that you can pay for, but I've just got the free one. And then I just typed in Takiura to see what already might be there from students. And it's all there.
Ke rewa kuki.
So our weekly kupu that we learn is there. And then you can choose to either like play a matchy game with the kupu Māori with the Te Reo Pākehā, matching it up, or it comes up with the kupu Māori and then you write in what the meaning is in Te Reo Pākehā. There's different ways to, or you can make up your own lists and share that with everybody. Yeah, it's
cool.
Quite good, yeah.
What about you, Tiffany?
I've just been really challenging myself to kōrero with everyone in the whare, even if they kōrero te reo Pākehā back to me, which my kids seem to always have done, even though they learn, they actually know more reo than what I do, but they, it's quite funny because sometimes I'll say something and I might, you know, I remember once I said, Māua, my takutama was like, what did you say, Mum? You know, it's like, but I had to actually also sit them down and just say, let's afi each other. I want to tautoko you, and I really want you to tautoko, you know, your mama, because this is a really big step that we're all taking together. But I do try and kōrero as much, and I just, I try not to write too much. I'm trying, I reread every night. I go through our karakia and our kupu for the day. But I just try and kōrero because I know I need to start here in the whare because I'm so shy out in the big wide world. I actually saw Ruby. I saw her out yesterday and she saw me, and instantly when I saw her I was like, oh, because I knew, and she asked me a question in te reo and I just went and I because I have this, I don't know what happens to me, but I get like, I go into shock.
I can relate to that. That's that having the time,
and I was like trying to gather my, you know, my answer, and then I could tell I think she might have felt uncomfortable, that she might have maybe made me feel uncomfortable, and then she was like, oh, how was your weekend? And I was like, oh, I was getting there, I was just, sorry, you know, it was just really, sorry, not sorry, but it was, yeah, so I'm just trying, sorry, I trail off. I start talking about something and then I end up talking about something else. But I do try and just, I do all my karakias and go through all the kupu and kōrero as much as I can in the whare first.
I agree. I try and kōrero with my partner as well. And if I have to send a text to somebody, especially someone I know who's also in Takiura, I send it in Te Reo Māori. And then I send that face emoji afterwards and that fingers crossed
and the hand over the face, hoping that it's right. But it's been quite good. It's been really reassuring when I've gotten the answer that I was after. Mm. One, I wanted a phone number of the person to connect within a certain company in regards to such and such, and they sent me that. They sent a screenshot of the person that I needed to contact, which
cool.
was awesome.
Oh,
yeah, and then on the way to Kura, I always try to play waiata and, yeah, just go hunting and say
hi. I do that too, yeah.
It's a nice way to set the day as well. Yeah.
There's, you know, not everyone can go to Rumakere, or not everyone can or wants to do total immersion. And actually one thing that Stacey reminded me that's really important is that you don't have to do a total immersion course to learn te reo Māori. Mm. And so while we, those of us having a kōrero here, are all currently enrolled in Rumakere, that doesn't mean that you can't learn te reo Māori in so many other ways. And you just reminded me of that when you said how you text your hoa in te reo Māori. My cousin and I last year, we weren't going to any course. We weren't doing any formal study of te reo Māori. We bought the Māori Made Easy Puka Puka, and we decided that she'd have one, I'd have one. We lived next door to each other at the time, my cousin, my kaihana, and we would go through it together because it's half an hour a day, near. So we would do half an hour. We did it for, we didn't do it all the time, but, you know, we'd get together and we'd, like, sit there, go through one whārangi, one page, and then we'd, you know, the next day try and do the same. But we made each other, we had set a wero for each other, a challenge for each other, that if we wanted to speak to each other via text or messenger, we had to tuhia I te reo Māori, and if we wanted to speak Pākehā, we had to call. And because most of the time we just message because it's faster, and I call, my cousin doesn't, well, she's not really into making phone calls, so she doesn't have to. So it was a really good challenge for us because neither of us had the time to have these long-winded phone calls. And so we're like, okay, we just have to do it. And so we'd text each other in te reo Māori, but then we'd start to get a bit clever and throw in a kupu that the other person didn't know, and then they'd take ages to reply because then you'd know that they'd be in the Te Aka app dictionary or in the actual dictionary trying to find the meaning of the kupu. But that was a really cool way for us, you know, not studying, not going to korapō, not doing any of that kind of stuff, but just in our own time and our own wero to each other, another kind of way.
I think for some people, you know, like via text where you're not in front of somebody in the heat of the moment, having to respond straight away, it gives you that time to respond or whatever, so it can feel less vulnerable, I guess.
Yeah. I put the pātai out to our Instagram page. What do you want us to discuss in these podcasts, or what do you want us to discuss in the first one? And there were a whole lot of responses that came in. One of them was, so it was self-talk. What's going on in your head while you're learning? So that's from somebody to us. What's going on in your head while you're learning?
There's so much going on in my head.
Quite often I do think that this is mine. This is mine anyway. It's okay for me to feel. I have to remind myself that it's okay to feel whakama, awanga wanga, you know, all of it's okay to feel anything, but this is mine and it's okay. That's what I do often say to myself, that it's already there. But it's mine. Like, it's not, it's when we're not, yeah, I don't want to, I don't think I need to elaborate anymore on it, but it's like, this is ours. And this is, yeah. But I do say that, this is mine, it's okay. It's not uncharted territory for you, you know? Don't worry about that. This is yours. Take it.
Mm.
That's what I do say to myself every single day when I'm in my class and something, if I have a little bit of a, I'm just like, hakina, haputa. Like, take it. It's okay. You got it. Just remind
me. I agree. I often want to pinch myself. I feel really blessed to be in the seat in Takiura, being able to be in full immersion. As much as I have to remind myself that same thing, Tiffany. And then I'm daily blown away by the wairua behind our kupu and how beautiful our reo is.
Yes.
And that's when I get emotional, and then I want to have little cries here and there. So I'm like, oh my gosh, we just have the coolest reo. Like, it's just so beautiful, and it's so much more than the minimal meanings we've been given and fed, you know, and which makes me angry too, because, you know, so much has been, I don't know, redirected to us in such a minimalistic way when there's just so much more beauty to our reo, and that blows my mind daily.
It was that fear of the beauty, wasn't it? That's why it's taken away. It's just too atahua to even so comprehend. Atahua. We can't even put it into kupu.
How clever. So, yeah. So that's something I hear on a daily in my head.
Oh man, I totoko that so much when you think of the actual meaning behind some of our kupu. It's not just this means this, you know, it's this means all of these things over here and this feeling and this experience and this history and this da 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 da, and that's what this one kupu means. Kia ora. Like, and it's like, okay. And you think how incredibly powerful and intelligent our tūpuna were. And I guess that's what you're saying, eh, Tiffany, that can be quite confronting for colonizers to go, these people are so intelligent, we must take away their reo so that we ensure that they don't show us up. Because when you think of the meaning behind some of our kupu, my goodness. For me, what goes on in my head when we're in class, I guess a couple of things. One is I'm always like, okay, how do I remember this? How do I remember this? How do I remember this? And it's just like, okay, this is the kupu, but how do I remember it? How do I remember it? And because I'm too busy going, how do I remember it? I'm not remembering it. So that's one thing that often is in my head. Like when a new kupu comes out, I'm like, okay, how am I going to remember that means that? and then I think, okay, how can I put it in a sentence? And how can I put it in a different sentence? And how can I use it in now try another sentence? The other thing I think, though, when I'm thinking about how do I try and remember it, is when would I use this at home and how would I say it at home? So one of the kupu I learned was te oro, scream. And I'm like, okay, te oro, how am I going to remember te oro? And then I think, oh, God, my kōtero screams all the time. Kaua e te oro. Like, haiata te kapua, kaua e te oro. And so then I think, okay, that's the phrase that I will remember, because it's the phrase I know I'm going to use when I get home. And then I get home, and yep, my daughter walks in the door, and she's screaming about something. I'm like, haiata te kapua. Kaua e te oro. And then she looks at me and she's like, hiaha te oro, mama. And then I have to teach her the meaning of te oro, and then that helps to retain it. But that's honestly what goes through my head. How am I going to remember this? And so I kind of, I've starting to train myself to think, in order for me to remember it, how would I use it in a normal everyday setting? Mm. And then the other thing I think of is, do I need to remember this kupu right now? Because we get lots of kupu. You know, there are so many kupu you have to remember, or not that you have to, but there are so many kupu that we all want to learn and we all want to remember. And it's, well, I don't know that it's physically impossible to learn all of these things at once, but I sometimes think, okay, which ones can I just let go of for now and maybe come back to later
when they're appropriate for that time in my life, or when I have a situation where I'm like, okay, now I need to learn those kupu for this situation.
Except when you hear one that, you know, like, paororo.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to use that one.
Yeah.
Every now and then there's one that's just like, oh, I like the ring of that.
What are you hoping to get out of this? Because this is our first kōrero together. And there will be other wahine who will join us on this podcast as the year goes on. But we will come back, kia kōrua, and have more kōrero around where we're at in another point in time. My pātai, yeah, is what are you hoping to get from this journey of reo reclamation? Other than being able to kōrero Māori. Because that's a given. But what are you hoping? Well, maybe it's not a given, but it's a given amongst us because you don't have a choice. It's going to happen. but what are you hoping for at the other end of this I tēnei tau? Because this is not the end of the journey. It's just the end of this year.
For me, one of my main goals... like you say, first of all, it's just the beginning of a lifelong journey, but one of my main goals is my nan that raised me is 87. She's just moved back into her birth home in the far north, and that's where she'll be now. So before she leaves this ao, I want to be able to sit down and kōrero Māori with her.
Kia tāhua.
Although... she's quite funny about it because she says, well, you better sign me up to Takiura as well then because I don't know if I'll be able to understand. But, yeah, that would be so fulfilling for me personally, and I would like her to see and to hear the effort made before she leaves the cell.
I would actually love to do the same with my nana who raised me too. She's 81 now. She has she has dementia now though, and it's quite interesting because whenever we've visited her, she's speaking more real. I remember like a nurse came in and she was like, "Hariatu." And she didn't speak like that to us. There was a period of, you know, where everything was in Pākehā, but she's speaking more reo. But I would love to quote, but she loves hearing te reo. Every time she hears to, she's just like, she would always sit back and she's like, I love te reo Māori. You know, she's just like, oh, it's so beautiful to hear te reo Māori. I'd love to kōrero with my uncle, my auntie, my other auntie who raised me, her tāne. He was... like a staple of te ao Māori within our lives.
I agree. I'd like to like I said, I receive a lot of emails and I have whānau that are fluent speakers, and then I'd love to uphold the mana of their space within birthing and all of that, whether, you know, that's being able to have a whole birth in te reo Māori would be beautiful. I'd like to... soak through and marinate the halls that we, you know, through the hospitals and through the birthing centres with that kind of thing.
Listening to you both talking about your kuia makes me very moke moke for my kuia in Karaua. And I said this in the bonus episode I recorded with Stacey, so whānau mā, if you haven't heard... that episode, go to either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and it's the bonus episode that comes after Nuku, I think she's 63, but it's around those early 60s, and there'll be a podcast in there. It's not on our website, it's only on the podcast channels, where we talk about my journey with te reo Māori. And I just reflect on that kōrero, where one of the things I said in that podcast was, you know, when I die... I would love, because, you know, both my kuia and karaua have passed on, I would love to see my my papa, who raised me, and be able to kōrero with him, I te reo Māori. And I think of the richness of our reo and how you can only, you know, some feelings you can only express I te reo Māori. You know what I love is that throughout this podcast, we've all just dropped in kupu Māori, reanga Māori, you know, reanga kōrero, and it didn't actually matter whether it was the right way or not because it just becomes normal to do that in the day-to-day. And I hope, I do really hope that this podcast series encourages you who are listening that you're not afraid to just use the words you have as much as you can. They'll eventually come out correct one day, but just keep trying and using them and shuffling them around. Get your tongue used to them. Wow, komatu. We'll check in again in a couple of months' time, whānau. Thank you both for being part of the first podcast kōrero for Tōku Reo. Before I go, I just have to give a mihi to Counties Manukau DHB and the Hauora Māori Workforce Development Fund, because I wouldn't be able to do Takiura this year without their āwhina, without their tautoko. I'm not employed by a health provider. I don't work in health as such in terms of paid employment. But since I was 18, I have worked for my hapori, for my community, for my marae, in and around Hauora initiatives, bringing screening programs to my marae and consistently working in that space. This particular fund has enabled me to study this year as it has covered my fees, and I am incredibly grateful for that. I'm also incredibly grateful that there are opportunities like this for people to access, and I am very privileged that I have been able to access it, and I know that I will be able to, with my reo Māori and my communications mahi that I do through my business, continue to support Hauora for our whānau, our hapū, our iwi, our hapori moving forward. And that is the way that I'm extremely committed in giving back, to ensure that by using te reo Māori, I am able to reach into our communities and support our Hauora in those ways. So just a huge mahi to them. Tēnā koutou, thank you so much. Appreciate it, and will make sure that I do you all proud and finish this year making that pūtia very much worthwhile. So kia ora.